Do you know a student getting ready to go to college? Or are you looking at going back to school yourself? The Woodward Hines Education Foundation and the Get to College program help more Mississippians get to and through college to get certificates and degrees that lead to meaningful employment. They offer free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance through in-person or virtual appointments. Visit gettocollege.org to learn more.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Thursday, April 11th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, state courts handing down sentences for six former Rankin County law enforcement officers for their attack and torture of two black men. From the Gulf States Newsroom, Medicaid expansion could provide health coverage to many in Alabama. Advocates say folks without it are struggling and providers are feeling the strain. Plus, organizers are kicking off day one of the 21st Annual Juke Joint Festival in Clarksdale. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The six officers who tortured and beat two black men in January of last year are now being sentenced to serve years in state custody. Federal charges ranging from 10 to 40 years were given last month. Rankin County Circuit Judge Steve Ratcliffe is now handing down sentences between 10 to 20 years. Attorney Malik Shabazz is lead counsel for the two victims.
Today, here in Rankin County Circuit Court, is a day that we've long awaited. This day, the Rankin County Goon Squad, Hunter Elward, Brett McAlpin, Christian Deadman, Opdyke, Middleton, and Deputy Hartsfield from Richland, they all had to come and appear in a courtroom where they have created much mischief in.
That's right.
For many, many years, the Goon Squad has come into this courtroom, and they have testified falsely against persons that they have beaten and caused to be wrongfully incarcerated. In this courtroom and in this courthouse, they have been given credibility to their statements and what they have presented to this court. But today was dramatically different. Today, the judge in this circuit county court has given out justice to the Rankin County Goon Squad and have brought them to justice in front of the world here today. In the same location where they have harmed many people, they were brought here and prison outfits, prison uniforms, and they're all headed to jail for a long time.
State and federal sentences will be served concurrently, meaning the former officers will serve the sentences at the same time. Shabazz says his team would have preferred some additional years, but says there are other signs of progress in this case.
What Judge Ratcliffe did do was he departed from the initial recommendations. Initial recommendations were very low in this case, and that would be indicative of the past. I think that Judge Ratcliffe departed from the recommendations, and doing so, he set a new standard here in Rankin County, that police brutality will not be tolerated in Rankin County. Let us be clear, no police officer in the history of Rankin County has ever been held criminally responsible for harming anyone, let alone a black person. No deputy in Rankin County has ever been given a single day of jail time in this courtroom. And so what happened in this courtroom today is significant. Yes, we would have preferred a couple of extra years. Yes, we would have preferred that a couple of more years of time were added on to the defendant's sentences. However, we respect the judgment of this court. We respect the wisdom of this court. And Mississippi has spoken here. This is Mississippi. This has never happened in Mississippi. Justice has come in Mississippi.
Both Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker, the two victims, were in the courtroom Wednesday. They provided statements about the physical and mental trauma they've gone through. Jenkins was shot in the mouth during the attack and says he can no longer sing or play drums. Eddie Parker says it's still difficult for him to sleep at night, but he's glad to see justice served.
I just want y'all to know, man, it touched me in my heart, man, to know that we were listened to. You know, y'all gave us a voice, man. Y'all Y'all gave us time, man. Y'all gave us strength, you know. So I appreciate all y'all. And today, Rankin County, you know, made a believer out of me. You know, made a believer out of hundreds. I know thousands, maybe millions of people. So I'm just thankful and you know, that I'm here to see it. And I'm glad, you know, Michael here to see it with me. I'm, you know, appreciative of my lawyers, you know, fighting for us. I mean, couldn't deal without them. All our family, man, they've been riding with us. It's been,
that's right.
It's been up and down, man, up and down. It's still up and down, man, you know, but still a roller coaster, man. We're gonna ride this thing out, man.
Current Rankin County Sheriff Brian Bailey is still in office, having won an uncontested race in November. Despite five of his former officers going to prison for this violent attack, he hasn't stepped down. Attorney Shabazz continues to call for Bailey's resignation.
Brian Bailey should be on notice that he may be next. That he may be next in this courtroom. He may be next for federal prosecution, and certainly he is on the list for a federal monitoring and takeover of his department. Brian Bailey is ultimately responsible for all of the actions of the goon squad because she should have been doing his job. He should have been monitoring his department.
The two victims in this case have also filed a $400 million civil lawsuit against the Rankin County Sheriff's Department, deputies, and the sheriff. Shabazz says the case is also open to other people who feel they are victims of the former officers.
Our civil lawsuit against Rankin County is all about the victims of Rankin County coming forward to contact us. If anyone in this county has been abused in any way over the years by the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and this goon squad,
that's right,
then we want to know about it
right away.
We believe that there are more goon squad members that are currently in the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. As Attorney Walker said, in federal court, they all testified that in order to rise in the department, in order to advance in the department, that they had to participate in this culture of violence. In order to be a part of the night shift, they had to join into the goon squad. And so the department is rife with corruption. And the residents of this county and Michael Jenkins, Eddie Parker, and their families, Miss Monica Lee, the mother of Damian Cameron,
that's right,
will never be satisfied until the entire department is cleaned up and cleaned out.
Coming up from the Gulf States Newsroom, Medicaid expansion could provide health coverage to many in Alabama, but it hasn't been adopted by lawmakers. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hi, Larry Morrissey with the Mississippi Arts Commission. Please join me and my colleagues for the Mississippi Arts Hour, where we have in-depth conversations with different creative Mississippians. That's the Mississippi Arts Hour, Sundays at 5 on Think Radio, or download it as a podcast.
Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Family Fun Day will be in the Pohl Gymnasium on the campus of Mississippi University for Women in Columbus on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. MPB has partnered with the Mississippi School for Mathematics and Science, MUW, and the Preservation Society of Columbus to host the free event. Come and meet MPB's own Ed Said. The whole family can enjoy music, a health fair, games and activities related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Register at education.mpbonline.org.
An evening of jazz can be just what the doctor ordered. Join me, Meredith Michelle, with WJSU's Evening Jazz, 7 to 10 weeknights on MPB Music Radio.
What's happening at the Mississippi Legislature? Tune in each week to At Issue on MPB Think Radio. I'm Michael Guidry. Join us as we take an inside look at the legislative session and get perspectives from both sides of the aisle. At Issue airs on MPB Think Radio every Friday night at 6:30 through the end of the session. And subscribe to the At Issue podcast so you can listen anytime, anywhere. MPB's At Issue. Tune in, Mississippi.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Hundreds of thousands of people in the South stand to benefit from Medicaid expansion. It was part of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Alabama is one of 10 states that have refused to adopt it. Drew Hawkins from the Gulf States Newsroom reports low-income people in rural areas are struggling. Providers are strained.
On a bright and clear Thursday morning, Dr. Brittany Anderson sets up shop at her small rural health clinic.
set up. Get rooms ready to go.
We're in downtown Demopolis, and it looks a lot like other small Alabama communities. There's a city hall, a historic district, a Confederate monument, and Anderson's Family Care Clinic. She says her patients are what you might expect from a small town, too.
Coffee's on the pot. All right. See a lot of school teachers, a lot of folks who work here within this city, some who work outside of the city.
Anderson treats about 1,700 patients. It's pretty hefty for a solo private practice. She says Medicaid expansion is her passion because of the challenges her patients face. One of the biggest is transportation. It's not covered under Medicaid.
Very often it breaks my heart, folks who have to, you know, pay someone to bring them into clinic, and then we get here and we're talking about, you know, what medicines we would do and things like that, and you're then including a trip to the pharmacy on the way home.
It also makes it hard to get to specialists who may be more than 2.5 hours away. For some of her rural patients, it might as well be a million miles away. So that sometimes puts Anderson in a pickle. Does she refer them to a specialist they can't get to, or try to treat them herself as best she can?
We're not out here to be cowboys practicing, you know, medicine that we're not comfortable with.
These aren't new problems in rural medicine, but they're getting worse. And bear with me here, we're going to get into some complicated health policy stuff. The other thing to know is that a lot of people here fall into what's known as the coverage gap. That's people who don't qualify for Medicaid but can't afford private insurance. According to the health policy research group KFF, if Alabama adopted Medicaid expansion, at least 174,000 residents would be covered. So why not cover more people? Especially since most of the money would come from the federal government.
Yeah, really, you're giving up a lot of your sovereignty as a state to set health policy.
Justin Bogie is Senior Director of Fiscal Policy at the Alabama Policy Institute.
So we think if you expand Medicaid and you open up this federal subsidized program for hundreds of thousands of people, then it could actually hurt that labor participation rate, give them another reason not to go to work, to stay at home.
Supporters of expansion say most people in the coverage gap are already working or can't work, like disabled people and children. Bogie and groups like the Alabama Hospital Association say they want to help those people get health care, just not with Medicaid expansion. They want a state-run plan that would use federal dollars to subsidize private health care, but that program doesn't exist. And there's one other reason why federal Medicaid expansion is a non-starter here.
Just the partisan nature of this is definitely a problem.
Regina Wagner is a professor of political science at the University of Alabama. She says that for years, Republican legislators in the South ran on repealing Obamacare. But other red states have since adopted expansion. Louisiana did it in 2016, and Mississippi is currently considering it. And Wagner says most Alabama voters support expansion.
But a lot of rural voters are Republicans, right? And so your own constituents are being hit by this, and you're not addressing it.
There was an attempt this year to fund more rural health. It was tucked into a casino gambling bill, but ultimately it didn't happen. Back at her health clinic, Dr. Anderson says she was disappointed, but she'll keep pushing legislators.
I'd simply say, look at where we are now, right? It's unfortunate when we, as a state, have folks who can't have access to care simply because we don't make this expansion.
Both supporters and opponents of Medicaid expansion say the state has to close the coverage gap somehow. But until that happens, it means even less access to health care for Alabama's poorest patients. For the Gulf States Newsroom, I'm Drew Hawkins.
The Gulf States Newsroom is a partnership between Mississippi Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Alabama and Louisiana. Coming up, organizers are kicking off day one of the 21st Annual Juke Joint Festival in Clarksdale. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
On Thursdays, MPB talks about the things you love. We love our cats and dogs. Get advice from Creature Comforts. We love our vehicles. Get answers on AutoCorrect. Southern Remedy Kids and Teens is all about our loved ones' health. Our experts answer listener questions on MPB local shows right here on MPB Think Radio.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Naney, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio. Or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app.
What's happening at the Mississippi Legislature? Tune in each week to At Issue on MPB Think Radio. I'm Michael Guidry. Join us as we take an inside look at the legislative session and get perspectives from both sides of the aisle. At Issue airs on MPB Think Radio every Friday night at 6:30 through the end of the session. And subscribe to the At Issue podcast so you can listen anytime, anywhere. MPB's At Issue. Tune in, Mississippi.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. It's the first day of the 21st Annual Juke Joint Festival, a celebration of music located in Clarksdale, Mississippi. The four-day event hosts more than 100 musicians with styles crossing into blues, gospel, folk, and country. Roger Stoley is co-founder of the festival and continues to be one of its primary organizers every year. He says the festival aims to highlight the rich music culture in the Delta, the blues, with an added benefit of bringing economic growth to the city of Clarksdale.
It's half blues festival, half small town fair, and all about the Delta. So the main event is Saturday, April 13th, running from the morning to, you know, the time you go to bed. And we'll feature about 100 blues acts right there, as well as other events. And then we coordinate some official and many unofficial related events running from Thursday through Sunday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right here in Clarksdale, Mississippi. It is our town's biggest blues and business week of the year, the biggest festival of the roughly 15 festival events that Clarksdale now has annually, and we're excited about it.
What is attendance like?
So attendance can vary based on weather, not going to lie. Right now, of course, the weekend is looking really good. But generally speaking, we tell people on Saturday in particular, the main day, about 3,000 people at night, double that during the daytime, maybe more. Some people will say crazy numbers because it feels like crazy numbers, but I think we can probably only hold about 7,500 people, you know, in downtown Clarksdale.
You said that there are 100 artists. How do you draw that many people to Clarksdale?
It's insane, really. The popularity of this event, because it is just a real thing. You know, it is like coming home, really, for a lot of these musicians. And many of them, of course, do live here or in the vicinity. And the first musicians that we typically book every year are the more veteran old timers tied to Mississippi, because we really like to highlight them since you just don't know how many more years we have with them. And then from there, you know, we book all the local acts and sort of spread out. We get several hundred people who do submissions through our website every year to be considered for the festival. But we try to keep it real. And as an example, this year specifically, we'll have Mississippi blues artists ranging from 7 years old to 97 years old performing. So really, it's a wide swath, generations of Mississippi blues, and then, of course, some blues from other places as well.
Is there a fee to attend this event?
Basically, all of the daytime official Juke Joint Festival weekend events are free. Details on the website, of course, jukejointfestival.com. But the nighttime, sort of the crown jewel of the whole weekend, is Saturday night in Clarksdale. And we'll have 23 nighttime venues at last count with 37 nighttime acts. The earliest venue starting at 6 p.m. And there is a wristband involved with the nighttime only on Saturday night for Juke Joint Festival. Currently, it is $50. It will go up if we still have them on Saturday. I advise folks to pick them up early. Thursday and Friday, you'll be able to buy them in person. Just have a great time.
And what are some of the acts that people might recognize Saturday night?
James Super Chicken Johnson, Anthony Big A Sherrod, Jimbo Mathis, Dwayne Burnside, Gary Burnside, Kent Burnside, Lightning Malcolm. There's just so many. It's really incredible. And what's cool about it is that not only do we have some of the bigger, more recognizable names, but you have folks that people may or may not have heard of, like Little Willie Farmer, who is just as authentic a bluesman as you will ever meet out of Duck Hill, Mississippi. And then we have Grammy nominees like Jimmy Duck Holmes and, you know, award blues music award winners like Eden Brent, you know, and we showcase again a lot of our great local acts like Lucius Spiller and Big A. And it really is just phenomenal. Watermelon Slim, who tours the world out of Clarksville, Mississippi. Just lots of great music.
Well, it sounds like an economic driver.
Exactly. And it basically, that's sort of the mission within the mission, to put business into the businesses and to facilitate at that time what kind of seemed like just a dream of downtown revitalization, which is sort of the heartbeat of any city. And, of course, you come forward a couple decades, and this will be our 21st edition of Chuuk Choin Festival, and you can just see the differences. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, these restaurants people eat in, they didn't exist 22 years ago or 21 years ago. These venues, many of them didn't exist. And some of these musicians who are now local, well, they've moved here in the past two decades, in large part due to their probably first visit here during Chuuk Choin Festival.
So there's something with blues going on probably throughout the year then.
Yes, so that's very important to us. And some weeks, I spend a lot of time on that. We have live blues in Clarksville 365 nights a year, and that's a real number. Christmas night, we will have something, mainly so we can say it's 365. But the idea is to have a message that's just very clear when it comes to marketing all of what we have here that's so great, that it is reliable. You can come see it. You can visit it. You can, you know, most times of the year you can hang out with the musicians because frankly we don't, you know, we're not busy the whole year. Now this is a particularly busy festival time. I mean, this week will be pretty insane in all the best positive ways, but it is still, you know, there is real Southern hospitality here, and these are generally speaking intimate performances. We are not a big stage out in the field with vendors that came in from, you know, three states away. It's all very local, very regional, very Mississippi. And just a lot of fun.
It sounds like the Jazz Festival in Alabama, W.C. Handy Festival.
Sure, sure. So it's, you know, conceptually, it's more along the lines of that than, say, you know, a jazz festival in New Orleans, you know, that's just so big that, you know, you aren't sure who you're seeing up there on that stage. But I love the fact that many of our visitors, I guess the one big challenge we have is people have such a great time, they want to come back every year. And, of course, you know, we've had to build more hotel rooms, we being the town, to accommodate, because we do get regulars who come every single year. A lot of international folks who couldn't be here for a couple years during the pandemic, you know, were tearful when they finally got back. And I have one couple from Germany that comes every year, Gunter and Gisela. I mean, they come every year for a little bit longer. So this time they're staying for 4 weeks. Surrounding the festival. Which is
oh, my great. Goodness. Okay.
Yeah. What we usually say is Chuuk Choin Festival is Saturday, April 13th, with related events running Thursday through Sunday night.
Roger Stoley is co-founder of the Chuuk Choin Festival. That kicks off today. It may be a bit cloudy, but the forecast is clear and sunny the rest of the weekend. And while you're there, be sure to check out MPB's booth. We'll be broadcasting our morning shows tomorrow morning live, The Gestalt Gardener and Next Stop Mississippi. Join us then. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.